Abang Abu Mekanik Wang, pengasas dan CEO Now Asia International akan ke Sapura Mine sedia membantu golongan muda dalam kesawanan dan kecerdasan kewangan. Penceramah terkenal ini akan membincangkan isu berkaitan dengan kewangan dan juga perniagaan. Jika anda ingin pelajari cara-cara untuk membina kekayaan, melabur, mengawal kewangan seperti cara-cara untuk melangsakkan hutang dan lain-lain lagi, ikuti kursus Abang Abu di Sapura Mine sekarang. Sila layari www.sapuraproperty.com hari ini untuk ketahui dengan lebih lanjut program ini sekarang. Abang Abu di Sapura Mines bantu anda berlabur dan mengurus kewangan dengan lebih padu. Iklan ini ditaja oleh Wahid Invest.
Korang tengah layan podcast Amans, bahagian dari jaringan podcast di Amans ni. Apa khabar semua? Aku Mak Pis.
Aku Yem.
Okey, Yem. Seperti biasa, kita akan mulakan dengan segmen pertama. Apa berita terbesar minggu ni? Okey, berita terbesar minggu ni kalau kita lihat ada laporan di Financial Times, FT, bahawa Binance dan Binance US affiliate valued at $4.5 billion in debut funding round. Basically, mereka Binance ini telah dinilai pada $4.5 billion in debut funding round. Dan the valuation trails that of rival mereka FTX US as investors remain concerned over regulatory risk. And as you know, this is this is their first fundraising round. But the nilai is far less than its main rival as regulatory concerns muddy the outlook for Changpeng Zhao's sprawling network of crypto companies. Apa yang kita boleh lihat from this particular news?
Okay. First of all, a lot of our podcast listeners are in the crypto scene. All right. And second of all, we are going to be viciously attacked by our own podcast listeners, peminat-peminat setia kita, sebab my understanding and your understanding of crypto is never as great as theirs. Okay. Itu dia punya big disclaimer.
Okay. Big disclaimer. Yes. I'm not a crypto guy.
Nope, neither am I. Neither.
Not a crypto guy.
But what I do know is this. When we talk about crypto, we're talking about deregulated finance, we're talking about blockchain. We're talking about systems where I can just get it myself if I wanted to, and I can use exchanges if I wanted to.
Okay.
And most often than not, these days we go to exchanges that is probably unregulated, but we go to these places like whatever Coinbase or whatever to buy and sell crypto, which defeats the purpose of having a DeFi. So defeats the purpose of going to a blockchain because you're still going to the market to buy shit. This is the idea here is go straight to the farm.
Kononnya you nak deregulate, right?
Okay, you nak deregulate. You nak sangat deregulated, pergilah deregulated. Tapi pula now you pergi a regulatednya scenario. Dekat Malaysia ada 4 DEX ataupun digital asset exchanges. One of them, the newest one, is called MX Global. It's run by Datuk Faz. He is MDEC Chief Strategy Officer. The name sounds very familiar to you, he is a brother to Fadza Anwar, who is the sister, but the wife to Vivi Yusof. It's all connected.
Okay.
Right now, Datuk Faz, I've known him since my Clubhouse days. Let's face it, I didn't know him before.
Okay.
I now know him, during the Clubhouse days. I've met him personally once or twice. I have interviewed him twice or thrice. He's a good guy, locked on. He knows the scenario. He knows the scene through and through. Now, MX Global is approved by Suruhanjaya Security. Dah diberikan tauliah dan sebagainya. Dan dalam masa yang sama, beberapa minggu sebelum ni, syarikat MX Global yang telah diiktiraf oleh Suruhanjaya Security sebagai sebuah DEX yang keempat bertauliah di negara kita, diberikan suntikan dana oleh beberapa investors termasuk Binance. Now, why is this important? Last year, Binance was sanctioned by Suruhanjaya Security. Do you know there's so many Malaysians out there that was buying and selling crypto on Binance, but because Binance is unregulated in Malaysia, Binance is unregulated in so many other countries, to be frank. Okay? They were sanctioned and all access to Binance websites and apps have been blocked. by SC using the help of SKMM and KKMM. Done. So now, if you want to use Binance, you can, tapi there's a lot of workaround. You have to use VPN, Tor browser, you name it. Baru kau boleh access the cash that you have inside Binance. Done. Now, Binance is taking a stake inside MX Global. My question to the...
Macam mana pula? SC.
My question to the chairman of SC. Alright, in a press briefing, aku tanya direct dekat Dato' Syed Alba, Dato' Zaid Syed Alba, is the investment of Binance into MX Global a backdoor entry
to
the Malaysian crypto scene? Honestly, that was my question to the chairman of SC. Now, I can only tell you his response. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but his response is, the level of investment of Binance into MX Global is not of the level that would trigger Binance controlling MX Global. It is also a level that is sufficient for us to continue on business as usual and to retain the license of MX Global in the operations of DEX. At verbatim, close quote. So, as far as SC is concerned,
they don't see it as a problem.
They don't see it as a problem. They don't see it as a problem. Now I'm putting words in the SC's mouth. They don't see it as a problem. This is me putting words in SC's mouth. Now, the inference here, because aku ada akal fikiran, buah fikiran dan juga hati naluri yang bebas, aku menyatakan bahawa SC doesn't look at this as an issue because MX Global yang ada license and Binance is the one injecting the money into MX Global.
So they see it as MX Global yang driving the thing lah, not Binance.
Driving the thing, not Binance. Okay, all right. Okay lah.
Which is true lah. I mean, in
which is true.
No,
it is because in my interview with Datuk Faz, following the investment of Kuskapi, actually, the dua investor Kuskapi and Binance that injected money inside MX Global. I wouldn't say injected money. I think they just invested. I think one invested money, the other one invested expertise and name or something like that. Anyway, it's still MX Global that is running the show. It is still Datuk Faz running the show, and it is still them trying to talk to SC every now and then on expanding the market and market influence and thought leadership and trying to get more market share from the market right now. So this ties in nicely with the news that you brought, which is Binance's US affiliate valued at $4.5 billion in debut funding round. So, but right now, Binance's US affiliate, all right, yes, not Binance itself, but the company that they back in the US has been valued at $4.5 billion in the first funding round, far less than its main rival, far less. $4.5 billion is less, okay, as their main rival because of regulatory concerns, okay, for the owner of Binance, Changpeng Zhao's sprawling network of cryptocurrency. So right now, US affiliate has raised $200 million from investors, valuing the group at just over half of the $8 billion valuation investors put in on FTX's US business in January. And of course, the largest investor in Binance US is Zhao himself, the CEO and founder of the much larger global Binance exchange. So, US, Binance, underperforming in terms of valuation. Now, is this bad for them? Does this mean that they're not going to grow their market share? Of course not. Okay, after all, it's about trying to understand what the market is and growing the market size. It is not necessarily about the valuation per se. But it does send a signal to the market that Binance US is not as hyped up as it is. Now, that, my friend, is the problem.
Okay. But it's in terms of nilai, aku tengok macam in terms of, I think based on our earlier disclaimer, memang I'm very newbie, or rather less than a newbie on the cryptocurrency scene. But when Binance US affiliate, kira macam you said just now, has received it, does MX Global also on the same path, or are we talking about something else entirely?
It's a bit of both, but we have to also look at all the other competitors of Binance, right? We know that some of the valuations that the competitors have is a bit higher than what they initially thought. It is also targeted to raise the money that they were imagined to achieve. In contrast, Binance US, at least, is not raising the kind of capital that they want, which is $8 billion. They got $4.5 billion. So it's like they are facing a very stiffer competition from the market when it comes to growing their business. But at the same time, we also have to expect that the problem with Binance is never about just Binance per se. That is something that we have to look at.
Okay, itulah yang kita cakap pasal crypto and also Binance. Tapi actually, it's not over yet. Sebenarnya, kita akan continue our topic on cryptocurrency. Tapi sebelum tu, kita berehat sebentar. Kembali selepas ini.
Podcast ini dibawakan oleh Amans TV. Minat dunia tech, gadget dan smartphone? Jom ikuti Amans hari ini. Kami berkongsi pelbagai video berkaitan review telefon, komputer, laptop, gaming, app dan lain-lain lagi. Kami juga bawakan tutorial dan wawancara bersama pelbagai personaliti di dalam dunia teknologi. Cari Amans TV di YouTube, Facebook dan Instagram.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Piz dan juga Yim. Ini adalah segmen kedua, apa lagi berita terbesar minggu ini. Okey, seperti dijanjikan dalam segmen pertama, kita still on the talk of crypto, tapi there is another report di mana oleh FT, di mana laporan tersebut menyatakan bahawa Dubai lost clutch of big crypto firms with tailored regulations. FTX and Binance set up operations in the Gulf state after securing approval under new licensing regime. So kita lihat Dubai is actually, going ahead or powering through the global crypto industry by offering these companies to also be part of their, boleh kata operations lah, or set up operations there. So this is, I would say, the most, they're trying to tailor it so that it's friendly towards the cryptocurrency. And I think this crypto is going to have a big boom in Dubai. Apa pandangan kau, Ian?
Okay, pandangan aku adalah mudah. Dubai used to be the darling of the world when it comes to growth and financial growth, yeah, financial industry growth. Kakak aku, dia drop out from university after second year in UIA, buat law. And then after the dropout, there's a lot of, I don't think depression quote, but more of feeling the blues lah. So she doesn't know what melancholic, right? I mean, you drop out, right? And it wasn't a forced dropout. She wasn't like dropped out because dia fail exam ataupun dia disciplinary issues. She dropped out because she just couldn't find a job. She couldn't find the meaning of continuing in university, right? This is a very critical thing, right? Because she felt that university is not for her. And of course, things were not good at home and the gaduh. It wasn't a nice time for her. And I appreciate the fact that she has made something out of her life today. But the fact is, at that point in time, she was really problematic in the sense of, no, I take that back. She's not problematic. She was going through a very, very hard time. And yes. And I was a bit too young. Aku rasa aku 14-15 tahun kot time tu. So aku nak tolong pun aku tak keti kan. I mean, you can only do so much when you're a young teenager. Betul. Anyway. So as she was wandering through life, she was asking herself, what can she do? Turns out that Emirates had an opening and Emirates wanted a cabin crew. And she applied. She applied and she got the job with Emirates, and then off she went to Dubai and she never looked back. Dia tak balik Malaysia dah. Kalau dia balik pun dia balik raya, shit like that. And when she was in Dubai in 1997, it was one hell of a place. Mm-hmm. I mean, new buildings propped up daily. And they are building buildings prefabricated. Maknanya bangunan dah tu siap. Dah hampir siap. Dia memang pasang-pasang.
Macam Lego.
Dia memang pasang-pasang. Dia macam Lego. Exactly, 100%. Right, jinx. And it is like the fact is she was staying at one place after another because there is always a better house, cheaper house and all that. And then masa itulah dia kita build Burj Dubai lah, kita build the Palm lah, Jumeirah lah dan sebagainya. But after a while, no other developments are there. Jumeirah is now dead. The Palm, the World, apa semua yang dia bina, rumah atas laut tu semua dah terbengkalai, projek terbengkalai. And then Dubai Financial Center, DFC, was already like dead and dying. And we start to wonder what the hell's happening, right, when it comes to the development of Dubai. Is it going to be worth it? Is it going to push forward the agenda of Dubai being the financial hub of the world? No longer. It seems like London, Singapore, and probably Hong Kong, might not be Hong Kong anymore, are still the financial centers of the world. And Switzerland. And now Dubai is trying to reinvent itself and see if they can enter the space of cryptocurrency. I think this is just like macam our podcast episode sebelum ni, when we were talking about Mark Zuckerberg trying to reinvent himself lah, DeFi lah, buat new coin lah, pelancau. This is yet another one of those nak try. Kalau tak, they will just.
I mean, they need to find a new niche, right? To differentiate.
Yeah, they need to find a new niche. Now, who is to say that they will not succeed? Because they did for a while. But can they create a sustainable project that can push forward the agenda of making Dubai the financial center of the world in the shape and form that they wanted? So maybe they might not necessarily be able to create that scenario where it is possible. But I think that moving forward, it is not. A far leap to think that Dubai is going to fail or succeed. I think they can still do it.
Yeah.
Itulah, itu pandangan aku.
Okay, but actually betul lah juga. Because I have a friend who actually works in Dubai, bukan work Dubai lah, dia more follow her husband, right? There is a lot of job opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of promise, tapi once you're there, actually, she was there for the past 3-4 years before the pandemic lah. There is some challenge, and I think it'll be interesting to monitor what's next for Dubai, because as we all know, you know, it'll be interesting as far as the cryptocurrency is concerned. So kita berehat sekali lagi. Lepas ni kita akan ke segmen seterusnya, segmen Teman Amans.
Kopi, nadi penggerak dunia moden hari ini. Kopi yang enak dan berkualiti menjadi pasangan sesuai bagi mana-mana majlis sosial maupun formal. Blue Dome Coffee menyajikan kopi Ramon khas dari biji kopi yang premium, disediakan dengan rapi oleh barista-barista handalan bagi memastikan setiap hirupan istimewa tanpa bandingan. Kunjungi Instagram ataupun Facebook at Blue Dome Coffee untuk maklumat lanjut. Cari kami di at Blue Dome Coffee hari ini.
Okay, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku, Mark Peace, dan juga Yem. Ini adalah segmen ketiga, segmen Teman Amans. Seperti biasa, dalam segmen ni aku dan Yem akan cuba memberi respon kepada soalan-soalan yang telah dihantar oleh pendengar kepada us@amans.my. Aku ulang sekali, us@amans.my. Dan untuk sesi kali ini, kita dengarkan soalan untuk Teman Amans.
Hai, saya Najwa dari Seremban. Ada berita tentang pembelian lebuh raya tentang pengambil alihan konsesi tol oleh Amanat Lebuh Raya Rakyat ALR dari Gamuda. Bagaimana isu ini akan dikupas dalam minggu mendatang? Terima kasih.
Cerita tol ni always a very popular topic. Aku percaya Yem is well versed in this particular issue when it comes to Gamuda dan sebagainya, but it'll be interesting to see how this affects the people lah. We can only dream that one day they will be toll free, but you know it's not the case. And in fact, aku tak tahu kalau kau perasan, kalau kau guna Plus Highway recently, there is a significant slash recently, aku rasa, in terms of the amount of toll. But sorry, that aside, what do you think about this whole Gamuda thing?
Okay, so 2019 aku ada wawancara, aku ada temu ramah mantan Menteri Kewangan Yang Berhormat Lim Guan Eng, dan pada waktu itu pembentukan dan pembelian konsesi daripada entah berapa, entah 3-4 syarikat tol diberi tentangan yang hebat oleh beberapa sektor. Tentangan hebat, bro. Why? Not because of the project itself or not because of the feasibility of the purchase by MOF, but because it was mooted by Tony Pua and it was championed by Lim Guan Eng.
Politicized lah.
Unfortunately. Politicized. Yep. it is not the policy that was the problem. It was the people who wanted the policy that was the problem. In fact, it wasn't a policy. It was a tactical action, right? It was about buying back MOF. Today, we are seeing it again. And the only difference here is that it's being done by Tengku Zafrul and Ismail Sabri.
No opposition. Suddenly, it's become palatable.
Nothing. Now, you know this better than I do. And I say this with utmost respect and with utmost sincerity. Can you explain to us kenapa kali ni tak ada masalah?
I mean, because he's UMNO, or rather, you know, or unfortunately, pardon me for bringing race in, it appears that, you know, Menteri Kewangan Melayu dari Parti Melayu, okay, Tengku Zafrul is CIMB, let's exclude him. Ismail Sabri is the Prime Minister, so... You know, suddenly becomes more palatable lah. You know,
ini maksud.
And I think the way they delivered it also is I wouldn't say very hush-hush lah. They macam matter of fact lah, which is something that I think Guan Eng and Tony Pua should learn lah. Not everything when you deliver, you kena you know. Sometimes you just like we're just taking over. Minimal. I mean, you know, they don't explain much. Yeah. So there's not much for you to actually pick up on. Actually, when I speak to you, kan, aku actually surprised.
Memang betul lah. Jadi kalau kau tengok bila benda ni dijadikan, bukanlah dijadikan, you know, bila orang Melayu yang mooted the idea and then like matter of fact and by the way, you know, you cerita pasal something and then by the way, this gamuda tool is going to be done. Yeah, it just brings about that notion of suddenly it's palatable, people can consume it, and then tak ada huru-hara, tak ada kecoh, tak perlu panggil media, press, apa bagai nak explain kau punya policy dari awal sampai akhir, tak payah dah.
So you actually look at this, but I kalau kau tanya aku kan, I'm actually surprised that it's the same exact thing mooted by PH.
I don't think it was the exact thing, tapi it's similar the, basically lah, the similar. Same idea. Okay. Jadi aku pun macam, entahlah babe, aku tak reti lah benda ni. Tak reti. Maybe it's not just about the race. Maybe it's about the fact that they've been governing for over 70 years that they know how to pull things off. I don't know. Maybe it's as simple as that.
Yalah, we call it government inertia. You know.
Oh, wow. Okay. Government inertia.
You know how to, bukanlah manipulate. You feel... You tahu how to move. You know where to move, when, how, what to say. I think. But to be fair, Zafrul is rookie in terms of, you know. Let's just talk about politics lah. I think he's good as a CEO and whatever he does professionally. But as far as Menteri Kewangan, he's probably has as much experience as Guan Eng, maybe more lah at this point in time.
Yeah.
You know. So sometimes it's just about, you know, explaining things. And then, do you know who is Tengku Zafrul's political secretary?
Oh, tak tahu.
Nah, that's the point, right? But you know who Guan Eng's political secretary.
Yeah, Tony Pua. Okay, I see what you mean.
You know where and when to play your role. And I'm not talking about race. I'm talking just about approach. I'm just talking about macam mana you just present your facts. And sometimes you don't have to, you know. And I think I think there's a lesson to be learned here lah, as far as you know, Malaysians at large and also the politicians themselves. Thank you very much for the question.
Yeah, maybe before we close, just to recap. So Amanat Lebuh Raya Berhad ALR the proposed takeover of the four concessionaires linked to Gamuda Berhad. Dan dijangka akan siap menjelang akhir bulan Mei ataupun awal bulan Jun tahun ini. Dan kenyataan ini diberikan oleh timbalan CEO Gamuda, Rashidan Yusof. Dan pembelian ini berbentuk 5.5 bilion dan dah telah diterima secara rasmi oleh syarikat-syarikat konsesion yang disebutkan. Dan Rashidan pula berkata Gamuda akan buat extraordinary general meeting pada minggu ketiga bulan Mei untuk mendapatkan persetujuan daripada shareholder diorang. Ini akan mengesankan ataupun terkesan tol concessionaire yang terkesan adalah Kesas Expressway, Sprint Expressway, LDP dan juga Smart Tunnel. So if you don't know things in KL, these are the big four highways that we all use nearly every day. For me, for instance, I use both LDP and Smart Tunnel nearly every day. So for me, two of the four highways, I'm going to be terkesankan. So how does this affect me? How does this affect my toll usage? Yeah. Am I going to pay more toll or no more toll? I don't know. And how long am I going to pay the toll for? I don't know. So all the details are still being firmed up. And hopefully we can get some more details in the weeks to come.
Definitely. We'll be looking forward as the details come forward. Again, thank you kerana soalan. Kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita akan ke segmen seterusnya, segmen ramalan atau Zoom.
Di Sapura Mines, majlis perkahwinan impian anda boleh menjadi nyata. Dewan Agam di Sapura Mines mampu memuatkan sehingga 2,000 jemputan. Besar atau kecil majlis idaman anda, Sapura Mines mampu merealisasikannya. Kawasan parkir yang disediakan amat luas bagi menempatkan kesemua hadirin pada hari istimewa anda. Anda juga boleh memilih caterer pilihan bagi menepati cita rasa terkini. Untuk makluman lanjut, sila layari sapuraproperty.com.my. Sapura, P-R-O-P-E-R-T-Y.com.my.
Okey, kembali ke Podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Pins dan juga Yim. Ini adalah segmen keempat, segmen ramalan atau Zoom. Okay, seperti biasa dalam segmen ni, aku dan Yim akan cuba meramalkan benda dan bincang tentang ramalan tersebut. Dan untuk sesi kali ni, apa yang kita nak ramalkan, Yim?
Aku nak ramalkan stock picking is going to be a big deal for 2022.
Okay.
Sebab sebelum ni kita tengok orang invest in crypto, orang invest in robo advisor, orang invest in Stashaway, in Wahid Invest, orang invest in PNB, apa ASB, even tabung haji. But I think 2022, because things are stabilized, companies are getting better in terms of the revenue, in terms of operations. I think investors, both large and small, is going to start thinking about stock picking being a real option and alternative for them. And I do believe that investors in Malaysia, pelabur dekat dalam Malaysia, dia akan cuba melabur stock pick di luar negara, terutamanya syarikat-syarikat teknologi di Amerika Syarikat seperti Meta, seperti Google, seperti apa nama Apple dan sebagainya. Dan mungkin sebab harga diorang dah melampau kan, sampai $400-$500 satu saham. Takkan kau nak beli satu saham kan? Betul. And then bila $400 maknanya RM2,000, $400 US, takkan kau nak beli, you know, 10, kau ada ke 20,000 nak melabur. So dia akan try to find a way where you can buy some form of margin in terms of buying the stock picks. Now, in Malaysia, the quickest way is of course still back to crypto. Still back to robo-advisor. Companies like Stashaway, dia ada technology enabler, Wahid Invest, walaupun syariah base, dia berpangkalan di Amerika Syarikat dan dia akan menggunakan faktor-faktor yang agak menarik, iaitu menggunakan faktor seperti stock pick through robo advisory in technology enabler using small ticket investment. So kau boleh labur $100-$200 dan sebagainya. So it's a merger between stock picks or at least sector based and using robo advisory. That's my ramalan for this year. I don't know. I think I'm going to be right.
Very interesting ramalan. Tapi I know you're speaking from the point of view of, you know, someone who's aware of investment, tahu of this existing robo advisors. But what's interesting, Yim, actually my mom actually asked me about robo advisor, and she's
That's interesting.
Yeah,
and that is interesting.
Yeah, so she's asking me if I'm aware, because she suddenly like baru dengar. And so I was like, okay, it has reached my mom. That means, not to say that I'm intentionally tak nak cakap dengan dia pasal ni. I just thought she might not be interested. But you know, actually she's, she asked me about it. So I guess, yeah, your ramalan is coming through or on the way of it's coming through, because I think if you talk about cascading, right? If you know someone in their 50s, 60s are talking about it and thinking about investing, I'm sure it's going to cascade to the rest of the population as well. Okay, on that
Baik.
On that note, kita berehat sebentar untuk segmen ramalan ini. Lepas ni kita akan ke segmen terakhir, segmen baik buruk.
Amans Media adalah peneraju kandungan dunia IT dalam bahasa Malaysia. Kami memberi tumpuan terhadap perkembangan dunia IT di dalam dan di luar negara. Kami menghasilkan tutorial dan menggunakan bahasa Malaysia sepenuhnya. Layari amans.my, amanz.my hari ini.
Okay, ini adalah podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Fiz dan juga Yim. Ini adalah segmen terakhir, segmen baik buruk. Seperti biasa, aku dan Yim akan sembang tentang apa yang baik dan buruk yang kita nampak untuk minggu ni. Aku mulakan dulu, Yim. Aku rasa baik, and although this has been ongoing for some time, it's actually the health Tan Sri DG Nur Hisham. Beliau menyatakan bahawa you still have to wear mask you know, when you go to all these high risk places. And aku suka bukan sebab apa, I know there's a whole issue about all this mask mandate dan sebagainya. Aku rasa it is a realistic approach to the pandemic. And aku rasa it's fair even at outdoor places ke apa ke, for you to just keep on wearing mask. And I think he says it in a more not like forcing yet, you have to wear mask. I think this is like the best way forward. Kalau you tak pakai, you yang rugi. And I think that's the approach that semua rakyat Malaysia should ambil lah. It's just a mask. You've already been wearing it for 2 years. Why not continue further? I mean, until to the point where COVID becomes as mild as a fever, you know, without any complications, kan? Until COVID comes to just category 1. Without you escalating to category 2 or 2 category further, I think mask should be here to stay. Aku rasa itu yang baik lah untuk aku. Kau pula macam mana?
Aku ni untuk baik adalah ni, angka unemployment rate dah masuk dan angka ni dah nampak turun. Kita pun tahu yang suku pertama tahun ini boleh dikatakan rata-rata lebih baik daripada suku pertama tahun 2021, suku pertama 2020, dan ini adalah petanda besar yang ekonomi Malaysia semakin pulih. Dan kalau kau tengok unjuran daripada Bank Dunia dan juga IMF, pertumbuhan kita mungkin akan kena KDNK 5.0% hingga 6.0%, iaitu mungkin sedikit bawah daripada anggaran yang diberikan oleh Kementerian Kewangan, tetapi ini masih lagi di bawah julat yang sangat produktif. Itu baik. Buruk aku adalah ini. Parlimen akan buat bersidang pada bulan Julai. Alright, itu sesi ke-2. Tak silap aku tahun ni. Dan persidangan sesi kedua dia akan mengambil masa entahlah sebulan ke apa, whatever lah. Kau just check lah takwim dekat parlimen tu, parlimen.gov.my. Tapi banyak lagi urusan kerajaan dan urusan yang berkenaan dengan orang-orang Malaysia masih lagi belum dapat diselesaikan dengan cepat dan mudah. You know, there's a lot of pending stuff, you know, that is currently happening in the parliament. And I'm not talking about political stuff. I'm talking about
anti-sexual harassment stuff. Bill.
Anti-sexual harassment bill. Ni, the ability for the government to change from cash basis accounting to accrual basis accounting. You know, this bill has been sitting in the parliament for the past 2-3 years. LHDN dah siapkan dah dasar ni, accrual dengan cash basis for like 3 years now, bro. And most countries have already gone to accrual basis. And Malaysia wants to go into accrual. There is no political debate about staying at cash basis because we are not capturing our liabilities and contingent liabilities accurately using cash basis. We have to go for accrual basis. But because there is no parliamentary sitting, and this is item number 10,000, bila MP akan sampai dekat bil ni? Yeah. Right, so I think the government needs to understand that if we have to go to office every day, the rest of us, people like you and me, kenapa diorang tak boleh buat persidangan at least 300 days a week, a year?
Yeah,
I think it's
a will, right? Political will, right? Because if you ask me, if you ask me, kalau kau tanya aku lah, and you know that is important, but of course there's the political side of things and also there's the management side of things, right? So why don't after you do the political stuff, kata okay, we're going to dedicate one whole week, we're just going to bang out, you know, all these, you know, akta, all akta, this particular akta to accrual base and all this management style, benda yang, you know, is just boring and there's no actually public debate. I mean, there's no public debate on this lah, I'd say. And just bang out lah, finish up like 13, 14, 15, you know. In
most
in,
of them rubber stamp. Most of them are like, okay, next. Tapi LHDN hanya boleh beroperasi berpandukan undang-undang.
Betul.
Jadi
betul.
Benda ni, ini rang undang-undang. Dia belum dijadikan undang-undang. So macam mana? Kau gila LHDN buat kerja tak ada ikut undang-undang. So of course they have to have the law. But how do we have the law when the law is not being debated through the bill in the parliament, sent to the Senate for confirmation, sent to the King for affirmation? This is a very long and arduous road to create a law, particularly when it comes to laws pertaining to income, money. Right, so I think it's important for us to understand that that is the big problem that the government is facing right now. But it's not new. Yeah. We've been talking about this for years.
We'll continue to talk. Hopefully, in July we'll see some significant changes lah. I doubt it,
but you can only wish.
Yeah, kita perlu keep on highlighting so that people know, people aware, people like, you know, finish this up. You know, benda harap-harap, benda macam tu lah. On that note, kita akhiri sesi podcast Amanz untuk kali ini. Seperti biasa, ada apa-apa maklum balas, cadangan dan sebagainya, hantarkan ke us at amanz.my. Aku dan Yem sentiasa menelungkannya. Kita bertemu lagi di sesi akan datang.
Abang Abu Mekanik Wang, pengasas dan CEO Now Asia International akan ke Sapura Mine, sedia membantu golongan muda dalam kesawanan dan kecerdasan kewangan. Penceramah terkenal ini akan membincangkan isu berkaitan dengan kewangan dan juga perniagaan. Jika anda ingin pelajari cara-cara untuk membina kekayaan, melabur, mengawal kewangan seperti cara-cara untuk melangsakkan hutang dan lain-lain lagi, ikuti kursus Abang Abu di Sapura Mine sekarang. Sila layari www.sapuraproperty.com hari ini untuk ketahui dengan lebih lanjut program ini sekarang. Abang Abu di Sapura Mines bantu anda berlabur dan mengurus kewangan dengan lebih padu. Iklan ini ditaja oleh Wahid Invest.